Well, good morning, good morning. God bless you all. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wow. It is certainly an honor and a privilege to be here today with you. Praise God. I want to first of all honor the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, the Revealer of all truth. I also want to honor the man and woman of God of this house, the Styles. Surely the Lord does not make any mistakes. He's the one who connects those who are to be connected. And I believe that this is a divine connection. Praise God. And that there are greater things that are yet to be done. This is only the beginning. We have only begun to scratch the surface of what God desires to release in our midst. And I just want to thank God for their lives, for their realness, the genuineness with which they approach the things of God. And I just want to thank God for breakthrough on every hand, favorable increase in their lives. I want to thank God for the release of the supernatural as their natural in this house. Father, we just praise you. We just adore you. We just bless your holy name. We just thank you, Lord God, for those things that you have ordained for such a time as this. Father, I thank you for this ministry, for Streams of Life ministry, a ministry, O Lord God, that you have facilitated from the day it began. Father, I thank you, O Lord God, for those things, O Lord God, that you have ordained specifically to be accomplished through this ministry. And I thank you, O Lord God, that you have set people in place, in positions. You've given them, O Lord God, the ammunition that they need to go forward in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you, O Lord God, that they will indeed fulfill that which you've called them to, bringing glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name. And everyone in agreement says? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wow. Well, I have quite a bit to share today, but I know I won't be able to get it all in this service. But just before I begin, I want to introduce my bride of 24 years. Suzette, if you just stand up and wave to the congregation, please. See, a good friend of mine used to talk about his wife. He says, you know, his wife is like his American Express. He never leaves home without her. You know, but my wife, you know, we have gone through the cleaving process and we understand what it means to walk together. And as, you know, Pastor and Cyrene were talking about, you know, the uniqueness that God has, you know, given unto each and every one of us, and how His mission is not for us to change one another, but it's for us to complete one another. And that is the wonderful thing. Because if, and you know, in completing, it doesn't mean you're always going to agree. Because if two people always agree, then one of them is unnecessary. Amen? If two people always agree, one of them is unnecessary. But it's that blending together and that, you know, appreciating each other, looking for the good in each other and capitalizing on, you know, those special things that God has placed in each and every one of us. Amen? Praise God. You know, I like to talk a little bit before I get into the Word, but I realize that I don't have much time. Forgive me if I just like to get my device, just so that, I don't go over on the time, you know. You're not going anywhere? Okay, all right. Well, set it. Praise God. Now, if you just lift your hands towards heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, just open up your mouths. And if you know how to pray in the Spirit, but just go right ahead and bless the name of the Lord in this place. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We adore you, Lord. We exalt you in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your uninterrupted favor upon our lives. We thank you for that which you have ordained for this day. We thank you, Lord God, that as we go forth, O Lord God, with this service, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for thinking through my thoughts and for speaking through my lips and for causing the words that go forth out of my mouth to be made penetrate to find the good soil of the hearts of these, your precious people. I thank you, Lord God, that your word that is sown in their hearts today will produce 30, 60, and 100-fold return. I thank you, Lord God, that your word that never returns void will accomplish that which you please in their lives today. I thank you, Lord God, that lives will be radically changed for your glory. And I thank you, Father, that all things will be done to bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Do you have your Bibles with you today? Praise God. Well, why don't you take them out? And, you know, I like to encourage our congregation to do one thing. I say, just say this after me. Say, this is my Bible. Hold it up. Say, this is my Bible. It's God's directive to me. I believe what it says to me. I accept what it offers. I am forever being changed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Give your neighbor a high five and says, hey, put your seatbelts on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, today I want to take some time to talk to you about a subject that I believe is very, very critical in these last days. And I'm going to talk about the anatomy of a temptation. The anatomy of a temptation. And I believe that this is so critical because in these last days, the enemy of our souls is on the prowl to deceive and ultimately render powerless the believer who yields or falls prey to his temptations. He is up to the same old tricks packaged in modern concepts, presented as harmless but necessary expressions of tolerance. The need for vigilance is paramount for the spirit-led believer who desires to please the Lord always and to finish the course well. Tell your neighbor, we've got to finish the course well. Glory to God. You see, we cannot be ignorant of the devil's devices. We must remain keenly aware of every maneuver, every disguise, every scheme unleashed against the body of Christ. I want you to know that the enemy of our souls, he wants to wear out the saints. He wants us to feel that he has the upper hand. But how many know that we have the victory in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have the victory. But we must be vigilant as believers. We must be vigilant, keenly aware of what's happening around us. As we go forward in the things of God, which we know that we have a mandate from heaven to do those things that God has called us to do. But we cannot get complacent. We cannot take our eyes off the ball. We have to stay focused. We have to stay prayed up, because if we do not, what happens to the frog can certainly happen to us. See, if you want to cook a frog, you can't just put on the pot on the fire and turn the water on and treat it like the way you would treat a lobster. You see, you treat a lobster, they boil the water and put them in there. If you were to boil the water and you get a frog and you put him in, the minute you throw him in there, he just springs right out. You see, the way you cook a frog is that you have to put him in cold water. So then he, ooh, this is nice. And he relaxes. And all of a sudden, then you turn on the fire. And you just turn up the heat gradually. And before he knows it, he'll be cooked. And that's what happens if, as believers, we become complacent. We cannot be complacent. We have to be vigilant of what the enemy is doing. And if we want to understand this, in Luke chapter 22, you don't have to turn there. I have a lot of scriptures and we won't have time to turn to each one, but I'll let you know which ones to turn to. But Luke 22:40, if you're taking notes, and when talking about Jesus, he said, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. In Revelation 3:10 and 11 it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now I find it rather interesting that as Pastor Gary was talking about a while ago, and Miss Irene, thank you so much, Pastor, that in the days ahead, there will be great persecution for our faith. We're already seeing signs of it all around us. We're already seeing that there is a concerted effort to try to silence the believer. But you and I must recognize what the Word of God says here. The Lord promised, he says, listen, because in Revelation 3:10 and 11, write it down, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. If you desire to fulfill what God has called you to do, I believe it is imperative that you understand what this temptation is going to be like. You and I must understand the anatomy of a temptation. Because you see, the devil doesn't show up in a red suit with a pitchfork with a tail behind him. He shows up on your job as your coworker. He shows up as that neighbor that just moved into your neighborhood who doesn't like anything that resembles a Christian. Can you say amen or oh me? Glory to God. The devil shows up in ways that if you're not vigilant, you will fall prey to his devices, thinking that, listen, I'm just trying to be tolerant. I'm just trying to get along. But how many know that God didn't call us to get along with the world? God called us to be separate from the world so that we can influence the world. You see, I don't have to compromise on who I am to get along with you. Can you say amen? I just simply have to know who I am and stand for what I stand for, believe what I believe, and go forward, because we are the light of the world. We are the one who are to make the change in this world and not allow the world to change us. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So in understanding the anatomy of a temptation, it is imperative that we go back to the beginning, to the inception. Because you need to understand, really, that it's the same old devil with the same old tricks. Really, nothing has changed. He has simply repackaged them. And so we have to be vigilant. We have to recognize what's going on here. Now, in Genesis, turn to the book of Genesis. Let's start from the beginning. How is that? We go from the beginning. Now, we'll get to Revelation sometime today. No. Don't panic now. So I said, well, Pastor, I think I believe in once you get to Job. I got a job I got to go to. No. Glory to God. Are you at Genesis? Genesis chapter 1. In the book of Genesis, we find that it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And as you continue to read, you see all the things that were created and how God meticulously orchestrated everything that he had planned. And I love what it says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. I want you to highlight that, write it down, whatever you do. Bookmark it on your device. Genesis chapter 1:31, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Tell your neighbor, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And God saw that everything he had made, behold, it was very good. It was very good. I want you to know that things might be going real good in your life today. There might be things that, you know, you look at it and you said, we have the house, we have the cars, we have the jobs, and things are just wonderful. But I want you to know that even in the midst of all that wonder that you have and things really coming together, if you are not careful, there can be an interruption in the plan that God has for your life. Can you say amen? Because God Almighty created everything. And he said it was very good. And yet something went wrong. And yet something went wrong. You see, God, he made a provision. He made a provision for the man that he had created. And I can't read through all this. I just have to recap it real quickly. Because God created Adam in his image and in his likeness. And God put Adam in a garden. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 verses 8 through 9. I want you to just turn there real quickly. I feel a little rushed, but I'm going to slow it down a little bit. Genesis chapter 2. It says, and the Lord God, verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I want you to see how meticulous God is. In Genesis 2:8 it says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground he caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So in essence, God prepared a place of beauty and a place of sustenance. And once he made that preparation, then he put the man that he had created in that place. He made provision for him. He didn't ask him to work it out on his own. He said, no, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to set you in that place. And notice, it was a place of beauty and it was a place of sustenance. You see, God wanted man to realize that, listen, I have it all under control. And I'm going to be the one who will help you to get to where you need to go. But I just have one thing that I'm going to ask of you. And you find that in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So I want you to see that. So God created Adam in his image and his likeness. God planted a garden east of Eden. He caused flowers, trees to come up, things of beauty to come up, things that would provide sustenance for man. And there he put the man. And then God simply said, of all the trees that are in the garden, you can eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Because in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Seems pretty simple. Seems pretty straightforward. Well understood. But then we understand that there was a change. We don't know. When we read the book of Genesis, we might think that it's just, oh, today, tomorrow, you know, it just happens all together. But we don't know how long Adam was there tending the garden and doing everything that he was doing. And then the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so the Lord God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He was the one that performed the first surgery. And the Bible says that he opened him up and he took out a rib. And then he closed up the flesh thereof. And from that rib, he created the woman. Now, I don't know why God didn't allow Adam to see when he was creating Eve. Because I think it would have given us some insight into how women really work, right, Miss Irene? But God kept him under while he was preparing Eve. Put all the good stuff in her, you know. All that stuff that we like, right? Praise God. And then he took her and he presented her. Presented her to Adam. And Adam said, whoa. Now this is someone I can relate to. This is someone who is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Because prior to that, the Lord God created all the animals. And he brought them all to Adam and he said, you know, whatever you call them, that's what they're going to be called. And so all these animals came and Adam named them all. But there was none that was found that was suitable and compatible with him. And so God had to create him a helpmeet. And he was so taken aback by it, he says, whoa, man. Says, this is a woman. And I want to pick it up here. In Genesis chapter 3, it says, and again, we don't know how long, how much time had elapsed between Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and Genesis chapter 3. But I love what it says in Genesis chapter 3 here. It says, now. It is saying that, it is implying that some time had gone by. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Glory to God. Are you in Genesis chapter 3? Okay. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and trees and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit of thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Glory to God. I want you to work with me a little bit on this. Go back to verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The serpent was more subtle, crafty, cunning than any other beast that was upon the face of the earth. And it's interesting that the enemy chose to work through the serpent. The one that was cunning, subtle, crafty. And if you stretch your mind a little bit, you know, we always say, well, you know, well, Eve was deceived. And, you know, I know there are ministries that don't want to have women preach because they say, well, Eve was deceived and all that. But if you stretch your mind a little bit, and understand what was going on here. It says that the serpent was more subtle than any other beast upon the face of the earth. So it means that for the serpent to be used by the enemy to deceive Eve, he had to pick the right moment. He had to wait for a moment, a vulnerable moment. He had to wait for a time when he knew that he would be able to get over on her, so that he could interject what he wanted to interject to interrupt the flow of God for their lives. He knew, and just looking at it from my perspective, it had to be a vulnerable time of the month for Eve. Because he said, through the power of suggestion, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The power of suggestion. You and I in these last days must be mindful of the power of suggestion. Because one word is all it takes. You turn your television on and there is always something being suggested. All along, things were going fine. And here comes the enemy. Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree? And all of a sudden, Eve decided to think about it. And you want to hear why I believe it was a very vulnerable time for her. It was a very vulnerable time. Look at it in verse 3. In fact, I read from verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now I want you to know that God did not say they could not touch that tree. But it was a vulnerable time. She didn't want touch. Now you understand why. You know, our wives, there are times when they don't want to be touchy-feely. She processed it through who she really was. She said, God said, don't touch. It was a very vulnerable time for her. So the enemy being subtle and working through the serpent, which was more subtle than any beast of the field, picked a vulnerable time to approach Eve. I want you to know, and I tell the young people in our conversation, you have to watch. Sometimes those professors, they think they are smarter than everybody else. They think they know it. And sometimes you have to watch, because many of these people, it's interesting that there are many of them who their prime objective for the youngsters that are coming into college is that I'm going to rid you of everything that you call spirituality or faith in Jesus Christ. It's interesting that the enemy tries to work through those minds, those who we would consider to be brilliant among us. And the serpent said in verse 4 unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now this is the first lie that we have recorded here. Because we know that what God had said was true. And the devil had the audacity to try to speak against the word of God. You see, that's why the Bible tells, he's the father of lies and the lord of lies. Listen in verse 5, it says, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And this is the thing that you and I must really focus on. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now I want you to know, these two trees were in the midst of the garden right from the beginning. That means that Adam and Eve were able to pick from the tree of life, because it was also in the midst of the garden. The only tree they were forbidden to eat of was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all of a sudden, through the power of suggestion, now she is thinking about it. Now she's reasoning it out. And that's why I always say that if you're reasoning, it's got to be anointed reasoning. It's got to be anointed reasoning, because you see, the thing is, not everything that makes sense is God. Can you say amen? All of a sudden, it says, and when the woman saw, what did she see that was not there before? Because then she started to reason through the power of suggestion. Did God say, oh no, you don't understand. He's holding back on you. He's holding back on you. You see, he realizes that if you eat of that, then you're going to be as God. As if they weren't already created in His image and in His likeness. As if they weren't the shining glory of His creation. And so she saw something. I want you to know that in the hour in which we live, be careful what you see. Because things are going wonderful. And all of a sudden, a wife who has been faithful to her husband, who has been home, taking care of the children, doing what a wife should do. She's working, whatever. She's just there having a good time working and being a good helpmeet for her husband. And all of a sudden, on television, it says, you can do better than this. All of a sudden, a voice comes and says, you know what? What am I doing here just taking care of these children? I can do better than this. I could have married to this guy or that guy. And all of a sudden, the reality that they have known, all of a sudden in her mind and in her heart begins to change. The husband didn't change. Nothing has happened, but through the power of suggestion, all of a sudden, the grass seems greener on the other side. And if you're not careful, if you entertain any thought that you entertain or marinate in your mind over and over again, before you know it, it will distort your reality, and all of a sudden you begin to move in the direction of your dominant thought. And so Eve, all of a sudden, through the power of suggestion, she's now seeing something. Oh, wait a minute. When she saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Now tell me, the tree was always there. All of a sudden, it's pleasant to the eyes. You said, what changed? See, nothing changed without. Something started to change within. Something started to change within her. You see, it's important that you and I realize, as believers, that we have been given the ability to govern the thoughts that we allow to dominate our minds. That is the one thing God has left up to us. There is no one that can control, not even the Holy Spirit tries to control the thoughts that you allow to dominate your mind. We have this wonderful privilege. And we simply have to meditate on those things that we know that are consistent with what God has called us to. Those things that we know that are consistent with what God has ordained for us, so that we will not fall into the tricks of the enemy. You see, when you allow the power of suggestion to cause you to start to question what God is doing in your life, all of a sudden, you will start to question the direction that the pastor is going in. All of a sudden, you'll begin to question, you know, do I have the right job? Do I have the right position? All of a sudden, things will begin to get chaotic in your mind. And then you now find yourself heading in a direction that God did not call you to. You now find yourself in a place that is a dark place. And you wonder, what has happened? You say, God, how could you let this happen to me? And the Lord is saying, no, no, no. You have yielded to the enemy's devices. You have allowed yourself to be deceived. And because you have allowed yourself to be deceived, then you are now dealing with the fruit of that deception. But you cannot point your finger at me, because I am not the one who brings temptation in your life. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to realize that in these last days, for us to really fulfill what God has called us to, we have to be vigilant. We have to be watchful. We have to learn how to trust the leading of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We have to realize that not everything that glitters is gold. We have to realize that if God has not called you to something, then you have no right going or pursuing that thing. You have to realize that what God has told you is for you, because it says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you." God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And so what happens is, I don't have to be jealous of what's going on with somebody else's life, because God has a plan for me also. Can you say amen? Right. Glory to God. But I simply have to line up with His plan for my life. And when I line up, when I stay prayed up, when I stay vigilant, then I will not fall to the enemy's devices. You see, Adam and Eve, when tempted, they yielded. You see, someone would say, well, why didn't Adam step in and prevent his wife from partaking of the fruit? And my wife and I, we go back and forth on this. And I said, well, hey, listen, you have to understand, for all those years, you know, he had no person as a companion. He was just trying to avoid an argument. He wasn't going to, you know, get into, he's just saying, listen, wait a minute here. The Bible says that she ate of the fruit and she gave it unto him. And he was right there with her. And I want you to know that I don't know why that happened that way, but I simply believe that he was so enraptured with who she is and what God had done for him, that he was just willing to just, hey, listen, let's just work this thing together. And I want you to know that when you've been married for a while, that can happen also. I have seen it in our lives when my wife would say, honey, do this. And I jumped immediately and I do it. And then I recognize that, oh my God, that was not the time for me to do that. I don't know about you, Pastor Gary, but that has happened to me. When my wife says, honey, do this. And I just jump right into it. And I did it. And all of a sudden I realized she meant no evil. She meant no harm. But the timing was not God's timing. But what happens is, because we are one, and because my heart, I'm always looking to please my wife, I'm always looking to make sure that there's agreement, that things are good, and I will act. But I've since learned that after I've asked for forgiveness, Lord, I stepped out and I did what I should not have done outside of the timing that you had ordained. But I realized, I said, Lord, next time I'll be careful and I'll just be a little more vigilant. I'm looking at the time here. You see, Adam and Eve yielded when tempted, and it resulted in death, as God indicated. In the midst of perfection, the wrong voice was heeded, which resulted in an interruption. Not annihilation, but an interruption to the plan of God. As the author of fatherhood, God stepped in to rescue the man and woman that he had made, by promising to unveil his eternal salvation conceived before the foundation of the world. Can you say amen? Because Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So I want you to know that before Adam and Eve ever had a problem, God had a solution. Glory to God. God had a solution. So although they yielded to the temptation and they fell, God had a plan for their lives, and he would not be denied. So I want you to know that in examining this first temptation and how it was handled and how man was beguiled and was deceived by the enemy, you and I can learn, we can garner a lot of good things. We can take heed and realize that if we are not careful, you have to understand one thing. You see, Adam and Eve in the garden, they were in their pristine state. You have to understand, they were unblemished before the fall. You have to understand, it's like when you take a car out of the manufacturer's workshop. All the pipes are pristine, they're clear. All the fluids, if you look, you can see all the fluids flowing. You have to understand that Adam and Eve, they were functioning in the full capacity. Every capacity that God had given them was working at its optimum. Amen. Things were good. You have to understand that. For Adam to be able to, for Adam to be able to name all the animals and everything that he did, you have to understand that he was in tune with the voice of God. He was in tune with the mind of God. He was on the same wavelength with God. You have to understand this. And yet there was an interruption. And yet the enemy tried to interject himself into it. You have to understand that Adam and Eve, there was no darkness in them. And yet, they yielded to the temptation. So I want you to know today, that it doesn't matter how good things are for you right now. I don't want you to be fearful. I just want you to be watchful. I just want you to be on guard, recognizing that it's the same old devil and he's up to his same old tricks. In part two of this, I go into the life of Jesus. But I really cannot, I know I just don't have enough time to go into it. In fact, I'll be preaching this in the second service. But I want you to see that when you look in at Matthew chapter 4 and read verses 1 through 12 and you look at the temptations of Jesus, you'll see that it's the same old devil up to the same old tricks. Was the same things. He's always appealing. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You said it. Because all of a sudden, you have to realize the reality that you now know can be drastically changed if you are not watchful. You're not mindful of those things that God has called you to. It starts very subtly. There's no neon sign. It's very subtle. It's a little rebellion here. The pastor said I should do, oh, but you know what? I think I'll do it a little better right here. I know a little better. It's a little thought right here. You know, I don't know, my husband, he's been acting a little strange lately. You know, I think something is going on. I think he's changing. It might be, oh, it's those neighbors. I knew it. Those neighbors, they're just jealous of us. I knew it. I just knew it. And all of a sudden, you allow these thoughts to come in, and all of a sudden, your reality gets distorted. And the good thing that you had going now lays in shambles because you were not vigilant. You were not mindful of what God had called you to. I want you to know that the grass always seems greener on the other side until you get there. Always seems greener on the other side until you get there. All of a sudden, that person who has always been complimenting you, tell you how wonderful you are, how wonderful things are, all of a sudden, you realize that, whoa, things are not what they seem. I have the right person by my side, right now, and I recognize it. And I'm going to honor that. Glory to God. Praise God. I got a couple more minutes. All of a sudden you realize that those neighbors that I have next door, God has placed them there because He wants me to let the light shine so bright that they're going to come and knock on my door and say, hey, I don't know what you have, but whatever it is you have, I want it because I see something in you that I haven't seen in anybody else who have called themselves Christian. Glory to God. And you'll be surprised that once you get to know them, they're some of the most wonderful people that you'll ever know in your life. Because you did not allow yourself to fall prey to the enemy's devices. Because they are different. Yeah, they look different from me. They talk a little different. Who was talking about that? Was that you, Holly? Talking about the differences. The differences. Glory to God. I'm going to have to... I have three more pages of things here that need to be covered, and I know I can't cover them now. But I'll be finishing this up, part two, in the next service. But I just want to encourage you believers, Streams of Life Ministry, let's be vigilant. And sometimes vigilance just simply requires that you take a walk around yourself. Being circumspect. Let's make sure that you are lining up with the vision that God has called you to. Let's make sure that your heart is in the right place. Let's make sure that you're fully committed and submitted to the man and woman of God of this house. Let not the enemy introduce or interject anything, any thought process into your minds and into your hearts that will cause you to go against what God has ordained for this house, for this place. Let's not be ignorant of the devil's devices. So today, as you lift up your hands towards heaven, I just want you to say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mind of Christ with which we operate. We thank you, Lord, for your wisdom, for your knowledge, for your understanding that governs the way we perceive you and your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. And as we go forward, we will go forward knowing that all things are indeed working together for our good, for our ministry, for our households, because you have called us with a holy calling. You have anointed us and you have equipped us and have given us all that we need in Christ Jesus. And so as we go forth, we commit our all into your hands and we thank you for victory upon victory. We thank you for glory upon glory. We thank you, Lord, that your glory will cover the streets of our communities according to your divine plan and your purpose for our lives. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Pastor Gary, if you just come up, please.
I don't know about you, but I want to know what the next part is. So I'm going to ask Pastor Mike, would you be willing to continue to edify us?
Absolutely.
Because I don't want a piece of the puzzle. I want all the puzzle.
Okay. Well, absolutely. I would love for you all to stay for the next service.
No, I'm talking about next Sunday, too.
Oh, next Sunday.
Maybe I ought to talk to your wife.
I thought you were going to make it easy on me. Just come for the next service.
I mean, that's fine.
Okay. Yes, yes. Yes, I'm doing the second part today, yes.
Well, would be my honor if you
absolutely, would. Absolutely, thank absolutely, you. Absolutely. Thank praise you. God.
Anybody would like prayer? Pastor Mike would be more than happy to pray.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. Praise God. Thank you. Yes. If you have a request, something that you're standing and believing God for, this is the time. Glory to God. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We exalt you, Jesus. Oh, we adore you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, seeing that there are no requests for prayer, I just want to encourage you to go forth this week and have a productive week. Remember who you are and be vigilant, knowing that the Lord desires to use you in a mighty way in the days ahead. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for your word that has gone forth this day. I thank you, Lord God, for that which you have begun in the lives of these, your precious people. I thank you, Lord God, that you have set in motion things of eternal value in their lives and in their hearts. And that, O Lord my God, in the days ahead, it will be quite evident that not only are you for us, not only are you with us, but God, you are in us, perfecting those things that concern us and bringing to pass, O Lord God, those things that you have ordained. So, Father, I pray a blessing upon your people as they go forth this week. And I thank you, O Lord God, that no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against them in judgment shall be proven to be in the wrong. Father, I thank you that your people go forth victoriously and they are safe and secure in your arms. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.